Let's start today with a little group participation. If you're watching online, whether in home or a small group somewhere, go ahead and play along there as well. By show of hands, how many people have been in the church at least 1 week? All right, this was meant to get everybody's hands up. Okay, reluctantly maybe, but everybody's hands. Okay, keep them up. How many been in the church at least 1 year? Okay, 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, 30 years. Oh, big hands dropped there. Okay, 40 years. Still some hands. Keep them high so I can see. How about 50 years? Still got some hands. 55 years. Okay, nobody had it. Let's go back to 50. How about 52? 51. All right, I think we have winners up here in the front. Children and teens that are here today, did you see how many hands had been up a long time? 30, 40, 50 years. What qualities do these individuals have that you want in your lives? And what quality do these individuals still need in their lives as we live out the rest of these days and what this Sabbath day ultimately will come to, what it ultimately means and when it will be fulfilled? When I was young, I loved to race, and I was fast. In fact, I was the fastest in my school for a certain amount of time. Nobody could beat me in the 100 meters or 200 meters. But in running, I didn't have the quality that these individuals had. The New Testament is filled with scriptures that compare running a race with our Christian life. But not just any race, a long-distance race. As a kid, I hated long-distance races. Why? Because I didn't have this quality. Something all those people who had their hands up for a long time have demonstrated in their lives. A distance race requires something to be developed that I didn't have as a sprinter. Endurance. Today in the split sermon, I'd like to examine this comparison of running an endurance race. Running an endurance race. Endurance is a quality that every single person must have if we want to serve with Christ and God, our Father, in the kingdom. Over the years, many people have come and listened to wonderful sermons on the kingdom of God. They've loved the idea, but they're no longer here. They no longer may keep the Sabbath. They no longer rehearse God's plan. When I was young, I had a sprinter's mentality. Sprinters don't need endurance. They can rely on their natural physical abilities. They can rely on their quick burst of energy, their God-given muscles, and that before they know it, the race is over. How many people watched some of the Olympics last year in Rio? Yeah. The world record for 100 meters is over in 9.58 seconds. If you looked away from the TV at the wrong time when that race began, you could be like, honey, could you bring me something cold from the fridge? That would be really nice. And you look back and I missed it. We live in a world that has a sprinter's mentality. They want everything now. They want everything fast. They don't want to work for it. They want to be able to charge it and get it today. They don't want to exercise and eat right. They'd rather take a pill that takes care of that all the hard work for them. They want a high-paying job out of college. Every one of us who got baptized and everyone who gets baptized signs up for a completely different kind of race. It's not a sprint, and those with a sprinter's mentality will never make it. No, this race that we've all signed up for is a long endurance race. How many people here have ran some sort of endurance race during their lives? Okay, quite a few people. Maybe some of you did the ABC 5K a couple weeks ago. Running an endurance race is hard. You start breathing really hard. Your lungs start to hurt. You usually get some sort of pain somewhere, maybe in your side, maybe underneath your knee. Your lungs burn. Your muscles burn. You get a weird, sometimes metallic taste in your mouth. In an endurance race, everything physical about you says, don't do this anymore. Stop. It's time to stop running. But you have to overcome what physically you want to do and say, no, I'm going to keep going. Let's begin turning in our Bible today by going to Hebrews 12. Hebrews 12. I keep a marker in my Bible in Hebrews. For some reason, it is one of the harder ones for me to get to quickly, and I always keep my marker right there. Hebrews 12. Actually, let's start a little bit earlier, just in Hebrews 11, so we can continue to thought into Hebrews 12. Hebrews 11, this is one of the chapters we nicknamed the faith chapter. It's about these pilgrims of faith, about men and women who ran their endurance race, going through all sorts of terrible difficulties. And this isn't meant to be discouraging to us when we read these things. It's meant to do the opposite. It's meant to show us that we're in great company with those that have an endurance mentality. Well, let's pick it up in 11 and verse 35. Hebrews 11 and verse 35. And we'll read to the end and then keep going into 12. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance. Middle of 35. Others were tortured and not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. Still others had trials of mockings and scourgings, yes, and of chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, were tempted, were slain with a sword. They wandered about in sheep's skins and goat skins, being destitute, afflicted, and tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. And we continue right on this thought, right into chapter 12, and it starts with, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. On the Isthmus of Corinth, the athletes from all over Greece would come together for the Isthmian Games. They had this every 2 years. These games were subject of great patriotic pride for the Corinthians. There was a giant stadium there where the athletes would run. Now, most people in Greece love sports, especially running race, foot races. They weren't ho-hum about them. This was something they took passion in and took a lot of pride in. And some of these races were sprints, but others required endurance. And Hebrews 12:1 begins, therefore, we also. And what's it talking about? We also what? We also run this race. We consider all the examples of all the amazing men and women of faith who have run before us. Our young people today would be wise to consider also even the examples of those that had their hands up in this room. Those who have been demonstrating throughout their lives this quality of endurance during their run. These individuals who have come before us and that have had their hands up have had many reasons to quit over the years. There are many reasons to quit, but they didn't. Last week we had the GCE, and we had a room filled here in Cincinnati with men and women who have dedicated their lives to serving God's people and to helping us all run this race. We are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. Just like the athletes in these Isthmian Games would have been surrounded by tons of people in the stadium cheering for them. We have the example of these heroes of faith here in Hebrews 11 and those here with us that surround us, whose very lives bear witness and encourage us in our own races to continue on. Now, often in sports, when you're interested in sports, you have a role model. And maybe in basketball, when I was growing up, there's no bigger role model than Michael Jordan. Today, maybe that's LeBron James or Stephen Curry. But you look at these individuals because they show you the height and the greatness to which something can be done. And similar to these sports heroes, that's what this is meant to show us in Hebrews 11, and that we're meant to look back on the beginning of Hebrews 12. These heroes of faith, who we can model our lives after. We can see their success in their races. We know it's possible, and it should encourage us that we too just can be successful, just as if we have those people cheering for us. It can encourage us that we can be successful in our race. They show us a great example of what a well-run race really looks like, and that it's possible to succeed. And we can use this example to pattern our lives after to run our amazing spiritual race. Next, here in Hebrews 12, we're told to lay aside every weight. The New Living Translation says to strip off every weight that slows us down. In the Olympic Games, its origin was to train men for warfare. To honor that origin, the Greek Games actually had a race called Hoplitodromos. Its literal meaning is race of soldiers. It was traditionally the very last race to be held, the climax race. Runners wore helmets, shin guards, and carried a heavy shield, probably weighing about 50 pounds. I wonder if the Hebrew writer here had that final race in mind when he said, lay off every weight, lay aside every weight. Or maybe he simply meant to draw back to often they ran in the nude. Nothing weighing them down whatsoever. If you were going to run a race, wouldn't you want to not put on your snow boots or not maybe wear your winter coat? No, you'd want to be as light as a feather, as light as you possibly could be, right? Probably without being nude, but as light as possible. We as Christians need to look in our lives and ask the same question about what is weighing us down. 2 weeks ago, I gave a sermonette in the PM where I talked about my daughter's training for their first 5K. That was two Thanksgivings ago out in Oklahoma with my in-laws. We ran that with my wife's family. Well, my mother-in-law thought it would be a great idea to buy us all turkey hats. And we had these hats, and I meant to bring it with me today, but I don't, so you have to envision this thing. And the legs were not filled with anything, so they were floppy. So she had the idea, I'll stuff them all with cotton balls. And so she stuffed all these with cotton balls, and that seemed like a great idea. They looked a lot cooler. And then we ran the race. We got there that morning, and it was pouring down rain. Poured the whole time, and we got soaked, and our turkey hats got soaked, and they probably weighed an extra, 5 pounds. But to make matters worse, not only were we carrying extra weight with us, the legs that now were stuffed and full of water weight kept flying up and kicking us in the face the entire time we ran. So it was a great idea if it didn't rain. If we would have been smart, we would have tossed those hats off if we were actually trying to win that race and not just finish the race. We would have cast them off because of the extra weight that they added. What is weighing you down in your life and in this race that you are running? This doesn't have to be sin. This could be something harmless in its own right. Let's take something innocent like reading a newspaper. So every morning you wake up, you read your newspaper, and you're keeping up with world events. That's nothing wrong with that, right? But what if that newspaper is getting in the way of what you really need to be doing first? And what if every morning that newspaper, all of a sudden you realize, oh, I got to get to work. And so you fly out the door, and you realize after a time goes by that every day the newspaper has replaced what's most important in your life, prayer and Bible study with your Father. So that newspaper has become a weight. Maybe it's the TV. Maybe it's a cell phone. Maybe it's Facebook, sports, or some other hobby that you have. What in your life is weighing you down? What changes do you need to make to ensure you put God first every day? Because once we start this race, finishing this race is all that truly matters. You don't want anything in your life that would keep you from finishing this race and reaching the great reward that God has for you. Get rid of the armor, get rid of the wet turkey hat, and cast off all weights and run. Notice the next line here in Hebrews 12. It says, and the sin which so easily ensnares us. Again, New Living Translation says, the sin that so easily trips us up. What sin in your life is causing you to trip and fall? Maybe our temper. Maybe it's our desire to control others and how we treat them and interact with them. Maybe it's rudeness, jealousy, greed. Maybe gossip, maybe sharing information with somebody you have no business sharing that with that doesn't need to know. Maybe lust, maybe alcohol, maybe gambling, maybe an addiction to spending money. What is it in your life that could keep you from finishing this race? We are told here to consider ourselves and what's getting in the way. And a true commitment to this would have us examine our lives, to examine what things are tripping us up, what has caused you to fall. Commit to finishing your race and get rid of anything, sin or not, anything that is weighing you down or tripping us up. It says, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. It's not a sprint. It's long, often exhausting, difficult. It's an endurance race that we have in front of us. That's why baptism is such a huge commitment. You aren't signing up for a cruise to the Bahamas. You're signing up for a challenging race, one that will take everything we have in this life to finish, and then some. Now, when I sprinted, I could rely on my natural ability. When my legs began to really tire out, I was done. I could still see where I started from. It was just over there. It was pretty easy. I never had to really push through any pain. I never really had my lungs have to burn. But with an endurance race, it's completely different. God asks us to begin running. He asks us to put our faith in Him for where we're running, how far we will go, what the course will be like. When I ran the race with my wife's family last year, we had no idea when we signed up that when we showed up, not only would it be pouring down rain, it'd be about 38 to 40 degrees. If we had, we would never have signed up. If we knew what was in store for us, no way. Half the people that signed up that day for that race and had signed up and paid good money to go into this race never showed up that day. But we had signed up. We were committed, and so we ran. What if our example of Jesus Christ, what if He looked at the race that was set before Him and thought, this is too hard. This is much more than I had expected. Obviously, eternal life would not be possible. We would still be dead in our sins. Hebrews 12:2 says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Not only do we have the example of the men and women of Hebrews 11 and all the racers from the Bible, we have Jesus Christ, the ultimate role model, our champion. Who is the first and the last in examples of endurance. He is above all the others of Hebrews 11. He is the example. And He endured the most difficult race of all. Christ set up for us an example, the perfect example, the greatest example of enduring hardship and difficulties. He had the toughest race course that God ever laid out. He endured a humiliating, painful death that we won't go into those specifics today because I think we've all probably heard those enough in our lives. Let's turn back a few pages to Hebrews 5 and verse 7 that gives us just a sense of this, Hebrews 5 and verse 7 through 9. It says here, Hebrews 5, 7 says, who in the days of His flesh, when He had offered up prayers and supplications, with vehement cries and tears to Him who was able to save Him from death, and was heard because of His godly fear, though He was a son, yet He learned obedience by the things which He suffered, and having been perfected, He became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey Him. No one ran a more difficult race than Jesus Christ. These races of life are also tough that we go through. Difficulties come. These difficulties test our grit, our resolve to continue on and running. Sometimes your knee starts to hurt. Sometimes you get some sort of a pain in your side. I've seen people get blisters so bad you can see the blood coming through their shoe. The physical race can be tough. One of the things that I've learned as I've aged here in the church, and I guess I was ignorant too as I grew up, I've learned that almost everybody in the church has their difficulties. Maybe it's a health trial for you or your family. Maybe it's financial struggles finding a job, marital problems, substance abuse, problems with children, relationship problems with a coworker, a friend, or a bad boss. And these things can be real tough. Real tough. My wife and I and our children, we've had our own health trials that we've had to learn from over the last couple of years. And sometimes I know you are seriously just trying to put one foot in front of the other. But there's nothing wrong with that. And on those hardest of days, when you're putting one foot in front of the other, maybe you're not going as fast as you'd like in your race, but you're still making progress toward that ultimate finish line of this physical life and our spiritual calling. Let's go to Acts 14 and verse 22. Acts 14 and verse 22. Actually, I'll read this. We're going to come right back to Hebrews. Acts 14:22 says, in the middle. We must through many tribulations enter the kingdom of God. We've probably heard that before. We're not promised a cruise ship. It's not a walk in the park. It's a tough, difficult run. It's a promise. Through many tribulations, we will enter the kingdom of God. Now let's go to Hebrews 10 and verse 32. Back close to where we were. Hebrews 10, 32 says, "But recall the former days in which, after you were illuminated, after you were called as Christians, you started this race. You endured a great struggle with sufferings, partly while you were made a spectacle, both by reproaches and tribulations, and partly while you became companions to those who were so treated. For you had compassion on me and my chains, and joyfully accepted the plundering of your goods, knowing that you have a better and enduring possession for yourselves in heaven. Therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has a great reward." They were told to remain bold, to remain confident that they would succeed, not to be discouraged or become disheartened, but instead to bear up under all those difficulties of the race of life that they were in, and to continue running. And notice verse 36. "For you have need of endurance." It's a need that we have. "So that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise." We have need of endurance. God called us to a life of overcoming. Israel had its physical race to run. It had its journey. It had its physical blessings and physical healings. And we have been called to a spiritual race, filled with spiritual warfare. And our blessings are mostly spiritual. By His stripes we were healed of our sins. We have an opportunity for a much greater promise than the physical promised land. We have a spiritual promised land and a spiritual reward. It's better than the physical reward, but it requires endurance. And it takes everything we have in this life to finish this race. Going back to Hebrews 12:2, continuing through this thought, "Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." Verse 3, "For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself." Consider him, "lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls." Christ went through all of this because of the great joy that he had for you and I to join his family, so we could be his siblings. Even Christ, it said, learned from his sufferings. His success in his race should encourage us that we can be successful and move forward each day. God doesn't want us to be beaten down and discouraged by this race. We must keep our eyes focused on these examples, those who have gone before us, but much more so on Jesus Christ, who is our success and makes the reward possible. Keep our eyes and the goal of Him always in our mind as our ultimate example. We must suffer during this lifetime. Again, we read that before, through many trials. It's a promise. It's part of the process. It's part of this race that we've been called to. In running, muscles are developed when we push ourselves more than we have in the past. So when we push those muscles beyond their current levels, similar to this, during our race, we developed endurance when we are pushed beyond our comfort zone, beyond what we've done in the past, and we become spiritually stronger. Spiritual muscles then grow, and we develop that endurance that we need. God gives us tests along the way to see our progress, and each of those make us stronger. Christ is our perfect example. We too can finish our race, because He finished the hardest race ever, and He lives in us, and the Spirit of God helps us. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians 9 and verse 25. I'm going to read this from the New Living Translation, which often I like the wording of. 1 Corinthians 9, verse 25 says, and we'll read through, I think, 27 here. "All athletes are disciplined in their training. They do it to win a prize that will fade away, but we do it for an eternal prize. A sprinter doesn't necessarily require any training, or at least I didn't when I was growing up. That's why I liked sprinting. I could show up and run the race. Running an endurance race requires training. In Greece, athletes training for these games lived on a very strict, self-denying diet. They refrained from drinking wine and having certain pleasant foods. They lived a self-disciplined life. They restrained themselves from anything that would prevent them from running at that optimal level. They put themselves through this for something that really had no real value, especially no eternal value. So how much more for the reward that we've been given the opportunity to have? How much more should we live a self-disciplined life? We too should have a special diet, one full of God's word, our daily bread. Just like an athlete needs specific nutrients or they grow weaker, we too must have a daily, spiritually calorie-rich diet full of God's word, so we also grow stronger day by day. We get that from filling ourselves with God's word. We should have a self-disciplined life, one that with constant, meaningful relationship with God our Father, our greatest coach during this race. Verse 26 says, "So I run with purpose in every step." Purpose in every step. I'm not just shadow boxing. I discipline my body like an athlete, training it to do what it should. Otherwise, I fear that after preaching to others, I myself might be disqualified. Sometimes during a race, falls happen. During this past Olympics, some might remember the competitor from Great Britain. His name was Mo Farah. He was running the 10,000-meter race. Yeah, 10,000 meters. He got tripped about 11 minutes into that race and fell. He said, "When I fell down, I was like, ah, one moment, my race is over, my dream is over. But then I managed to dig deep. I promised my daughter I was going to get her a medal. And in my mind, I was like, nah, I can't let her down." We must have a similar attitude because we all fall in life. Not a single one of us here is without sin. We all fall. But after a fall, I imagine all of us have felt this difficulty of getting back up. My race is over. My dream is done. We may feel distance in our relationship between God and how hard it is to get ourselves back on our feet. But we repent, and again, we start putting one foot in front of another, and we go on. The cool thing about this Mo Farah story is, he fell in the race, he picked himself back up, he started running, and he won the gold medal. He came back from that fall. I have found in running that it's helpful to run with others sometimes. When running with friends, they can often encourage us. When we hit a rough part of the race, they can keep us going when everything is telling us to lock it up and shut it down. In our spiritual endurance race, we do this for each other. We encourage each other during trials. We remind each other of the goal and the prize. We remind each other that this race does come to an end. It's only temporary, and the goal is waiting. After my back surgery, actually it was 1 year ago, it was last May, I got cards from many of you, the cards that we set out in the back. And when I opened mine, I cried. Because those things encourage us. I was joking last time I gave a message and I started to cry that I'm becoming a crybaby in these messages. But because these things, they impact us. They mean so much to us. The support of my brothers and sisters, it was overwhelming to me to open a card and see that they had taken time to encourage me. I was going through a difficult moment for myself. I was in pain and at times discouraged. But people came and visited. People called on the phone. And those people gave us a boost. How many times in your life have you needed that person that's come beside you when you were running your race? And they gave you that boost that you needed when you needed it. Not only do we have each other, but we have Christ with us too, the author and the finisher of our faith. In Philippians 1 and verse 6, I'll just read it one quick verse. "Being confident in this very thing, that he who has begun a work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ." God is with us, and Christ is there with us too. He's living inside us, and he gives us a helper to complete in this race. And there is no shortcuts to this race. As much as we may want them at times, there are no shortcuts. In the ancient Isthmian Games, There was a small structure there called a palamon. Within the structures, an athlete had to go in and they had to take an oath that they had been at least training for 10 months to show that they had been working at this, and that they would abide with the rules of the games. If they broke that oath, not only were they disqualified, not only did they have to pay a fine, but I think the worst one is they would be disgraced by having their name engraved on a placard that was placed along the wall of the main entrance to the stadium. In life, some try to cheat. They hold on to a sprinter's mentality. 2 years ago in the St. Louis Marathon, the first woman to cross the finish line, she broke the finish line tape. She got her picture as the winner of the race. And then race officials started talking. They became suspicious, and they said, where were the bike escorts that always bring the first runner in? Well, about 4 minutes later, another woman crosses the finish line with the bike escorts. Well, it took them about 20 minutes to figure it out. Some of you may know that when you run, sometimes they give you a bib. And sometimes those bibs that have your number on it has a little chip in it. And those chips register every time you hit a mile, 2 miles, 5 miles. And it tells you your times. You can go back and you can be like, oh, I slowed up here during this time. Well, they looked at her bib. Her bib had never registered at any of the markers along the way. None of the other racers could ever remember seeing her at any point during the race. And they figured out that she had somehow slipped into the line, or at the end of the race somewhere, and sprinted across that finish line like she was the champion. She wanted the glory, but she didn't want to put the work into that difficult race. Can we ever slip into a sprinter's mentality? We want the reward that God has promised us as first fruits, but we don't want the pain and the difficulties of this endurance race. Let's go to 2 Timothy 2:5. 2 Timothy 2:5. And it says here, and also if anyone competes in athletics, he is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. There is no way to cheat God and get into the kingdom. There's only one way. You have to run the race that God's given you, the whole way, with no shortcuts. There's no shortcuts in growing godly character. There are no shortcuts to gaining the greatest reward ever given. It's a sad fact also that some will quit during a race. It's too hard. It's too long. It's too difficult. We're given in Matthew a parable of the sower and the seed that fell on stony ground. I'll read the two verses there about this seed that fell on stony ground. It says, these likewise, this is actually Mark 4:16 is where I'm reading, 16 and 17. Mark 4:16 and 17. These likewise are the ones sown on stony ground. When they heard the word, immediately they received it with gladness. And they have no root in themselves, and so endure only for a time. Afterward, when tribulation or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they stumble. Some will endure only for a time. Initially, they might be excited, even on fire. But then difficulties come, and they don't endure. Often in running, the first mile is the toughest. When the lungs start to burn, and the mile is approaching, and your legs and muscles start to hurt, and the discomfort setting in, many will say, why am I doing this? And stop right then. But we can't stop there. We can't endure only for a time. We can never see quitting as an option for us, brethren. We simply can't. The only option is to keep moving forward and finish. In a race, training for the race isn't enough. Starting the race isn't enough. The only thing that truly matters is finishing the race. And the race doesn't finish until you cross that finish line. And the reward is only given to those who finish. None of us know when we will cross our finish line. So we run. We run not knowing when that finish line is coming, but we know with each pounding step we take that the finish line is closer, and we are closer to the prize. Let's go, or I'll read 1 Corinthians 9, verse 24, because we're going to come back close to where we are. 1 Corinthians 9:24. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? But notice it says, run in such a way that you may obtain it. There's a way that we run to obtain the prize. In the Isthmian Games, only the winner got the prize. The prize was a wreath of pine. That was the goal, the wreath of pine. When Paul said, run in such a way that you may obtain it, he was using the words that the instructors actually gave in each of the schools that were found in each Greek city. These schools were called gymnasia, where we get our term gymnasium. And they would say, run in such a way that you may obtain the prize. It was like us saying, give it everything you've got. Hold nothing back. Unlike these Greek games, Paul wasn't saying that only one of us could get the prize of eternal life. But in a sense, he wanted us to compete in that type of way. Are you running in a way that you may obtain the prize? Are you running in a way that you may obtain the prize? Or are there things in your life that you know you need to change? Are there things you need to try harder at? Things you need to do differently? Should you change anything about your prayer and your study life? What changes should you be making today in your life? Thankfully, we don't compete against one another. The Greek runners took off for their race, not knowing if they'd get the prize. We don't have to beat anyone out. Nobody can swoop in before you and steal your prize. We don't have to run with uncertainty to whether there is a prize waiting for us at our finish line of life. It's there. At the end of Paul's life, he said with confidence in 2 Timothy 4:7, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. There's such a great feeling when a finish line comes in racing. It comes into view, and you know with all certainty you are going to finish that race. You're going to step over that finish line and complete your goal in your race. And Paul saw that finish line of his life, and he knew he had the confidence that he had given it everything he had done. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 12 says, if we endure, we shall also reign with him. It's a promise. If we endure, we will also reign with him. And all of us want to reign and serve with Jesus Christ. Brethren, you and I have been called to a race. It's not a sprint. No, it's an endurance race. We have the greatest examples of those who endured before us. So much more so, we have the example of Jesus Christ, who endured everything so we could run our race and gain the prize of eternal life. Examine your life. Identify what is it in your life that is weighing you down or tripping you up, and get rid of it. Overcome. Train and feed daily on God's word, the bread of life. Have a meaningful and consistent prayer life with God. Support others around you during their race, and keep others close to you. If you fall, be like that British runner and get back up and start putting one foot in front of the other and win your race. There are no shortcuts, and quitting can never be an option. Visualize the finish line, visualize finishing your life, your race, and knowing that your reward is secure. So like Paul, you will be confident that you have fought the good fight, you have finished the race, and that your eternal crown is waiting for you. Have a great race.